Hello, good morning. We are getting ready to do some Q&A, but before we do, I want to do announcements and then I want to teach you something. Guys, I was thinking about you this morning. I'm at like 4:45 in the morning. I was doing my usual, a lot of times in the mornings, I like to do my journaling and stuff, and then I like to pop into the Facebook group to kind of just, I like to check the temperature of what's going on in all the groups and kind of find what you guys are struggling with and all this other stuff. So I was thinking about things that I was reading. And of course, everybody's excited because it's the new year. It's so easy right now to want to be committed or to commit because we just have that new year's enthusiasm going on. And especially coming off a year like 2020, where everything was about shutting down, constricting, taking things away from us and all that kind of stuff. 2021 has the promise of starting over, building, opening back up and deciding we're not going to use. I think in 2020, it was easy to use everything as an excuse. It felt so real. It felt so necessary to put our lives on hold or to blame things because we'd never really dealt with something like that. And I think this is the year where we're realizing like, I either can let outside circumstances dictate what I decide for myself, or I'm just going to have to, you know, bite the bullet and really go all in on what Corinne teaches. I'm the deciding factor. Whatever I want to do with my life will always be up to me, regardless of the circumstances. I can eat through it. I can keep going after my goals through it. I can problem solve. I can worry, but it's always a choice. So I was thinking about you guys this morning, and we're going to talk today all about goals are easy to commit to, but will you be committing to your obstacles and your problems along the way to the goal? So that's going to be today's topic before we get into Q&A. So, you know, guys, you can ask your questions, but I want you to really ask questions that you're like, this is something specific that Corinne needs to address. If it's something that your no BS women can help you with, like, I don't know, do you have any signals for my knowing when I'm hungry? That's a Facebook question. Ask those girls. It's in No BS. We have a module on it. We've got cheat sheets on it. We have calls on it. We have a Facebook group where people will tell you all their signals and stuff. I want you to guys really to just to listen to the words that come out my mouth today. And I want you guys to start using your Q&As to address some real deal shit that's going to help you get unstuck. Or if you are on fire, what's going to help you take like a gasoline can and just throw it right on your fire. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I just want to hit the announcements real quick so you guys know what all's happening this week, all the fun things, because I like to give you guys fun things to do. All right. So number one, we are in the middle of the Plan Like a Boss Challenge. If you don't know what that is, check your private member podcast. We're dropping little videos and little recordings every single day by the coaches, and they are talking to you guys about how they best use the planner. They're real short, and they're going to get you into the mindset of using it like a boss so that you can go through your life being more decisive, more well thought out, and reduce the overwhelm of not knowing what to eat, reduce the confusion on what you should eat at night. Like a lot of you are like, I don't know about this planning, but you'll spend equal as much time trying to make yourself be good. You'll spend as much time standing around frustrated that you don't know what to eat and stuff when planning solves it all. So they're going through that this week. You can find the videos inside the membership over at pnptribe.com. They're dropping into the podcast player. And guys, if for some reason you don't have the podcast player right now, please make sure that you email us at support@pnptribe.com. Don't just sit there and think, I don't know why mine's not working. Do not do that. It's probably when we changed the podcast over, you got an email link and it went to your spam or your junk. We have moved our entire podcast over to a simple setup through a service that takes excellent care of us so that your podcast players are working well. So make sure you get that. And then we're wrapping Plan Like a Boss up with me, yours truly, 10 a.m. Central Time on Saturday. If you went to camp,
What I will be teaching on Saturday is like a, think of it as like the dummy's handbook to finding your why, who you want to be, and setting a goal. Plus, I am adding one thing that I did not teach at camp, which is I'm going to take you guys through my success habits. Like, this is what it looks like for your future self. Like, for a lot of you, you think of me as your future self. So I wanted to give you a behind the scenes look at, here's all the shit that I do. This does not mean you need to do it. And it also means that 250 pound Corinne was not doing that day one. That is why I'm going to teach you the three steps to the goals to make sure that you know how to figure out who you want to be, give yourself a good visual, and then we're going to break down how do you start doing the little things today so that you're already experiencing control. Like, think about everything that you want when you lose weight. You want to feel control. You might want to feel happy, pretty, whatever those things are. We're going to start learning how to do those things along the way because I want you falling in love with the process, not falling in love just with your goals. So if you came to camp, this is kind of like a refresher. So if you don't want to come, you don't have to. But for everybody else, I'm going to be teaching in a short class exactly what I taught at camp. And if you saw that I did a free class for my mentor, Brooke Castillo, this is going to be the no BS version of what I taught there. So there's a workbook included. I know that the website will have the workbook. Let me see if Kathy got back in touch with me. Let's see. The banner is getting changed. I don't know, like I'll have to get, we will make sure you guys know where the workbook is. When we get it live, it will be in pnptribe.com. If you go over to where the workbooks and worksheets are, that's where it'll be. The banner that's always on the homepage, we're going to update it today to link you to the workbook so it won't be hard to find. It will also go out in email to you on Saturday right before the call. So there's a little workbook that goes right along with it so that you can do your work. Okay. The other thing is right now, the No BS, the first official No BS book study is going on, Big Leap with Coach Yesenia. You can join the Facebook group by going over to pnptribe.com, go to the community tab. All of our subgroups are there. Every subgroup we have is listed there. You can join the book club, and then you can do the book study with us. We have a workbook and everything that we do along with it. Mindful Drinking Calls with guest coach Angela starts tonight at 5 p.m. Central Time. So if you are wanting to work on mindful drinking and weight loss, I have brought in an expert coach who has an amazing podcast. She's an OBS woman. She's solved drinking for herself. Plus, she's lost weight. She's going to be teaching you guys through the month of January how to mindful drink like a boss and combine it with your weight loss. So it'll be so good. And then on, I wanted to remind everybody, we will be registering for camp starting next month. So the next camp is going to be May 14th through the 16th, and we will start registrations next month for that one. And please don't forget that our next big No BS membership opening is going to start on March 31st. A lot of you have friends who are dying to get in. Go ahead and have them take our free course so that they're on the mailing list and have them follow me on Instagram, have them follow me on Facebook. That way they'll never miss it and give them the podcast. That's the best ways to get them into what I call the No BS ecosystem so that they take the free course, they're listening to the podcast, they're following on the social. And when they're doing that, then when they get here, they're ready. Like, they've got some of the knowledge, they got all the things, and then we just start doing like what we do best, taking really good care of you guys. Okay, let's go to talking about goals are easy, but are you going to commit to the obstacles and the problems? This is important because what a lot of us do is we just fantasize about what it's going to be like when we hit our goal, we visualize that, and we end up forgetting about the part where all the way to the end of the goal is a lot of learning. That's what your obstacles and problems are. The obstacles and problems are all the learning that's going to happen along the way. I will never be able to give you anything simpler to do than what I already give you. I didn't care if I shipped all of you guys food. If I was a big ass Jenny Craig and sent you guys food, hell, I could come and sit in your house and some of you would sneak out and still go eat something. That's because we have to quit committing to just the goal and then hoping for perfection along the way. I want to make sure that what you're not doing when you say like, oh, I'm so excited, I start an OBS over, I got my planner, Corinne, and you're like, a lot of you start off enthusiastic as fuck because you're just thinking about the goal. But what you're not doing is you're not thinking about, all right, who am I going to be along the way? Am I going to be somebody who overcomes my obstacles and I'm going to anticipate them and stuff? Or am I going to be somebody who's going to shit my diaper and sit in it and not change it and whine every single time something doesn't go right? Somebody says something to me. Unexpected shit happens. I like a habit of mine hasn't gone away yet. I missed a hunger cue. I was eating, and when I looked down, I noticed I cleaned my plate, and I'd blown past enough. It was all unconscious. All of that is shit you got to learn how to not do anymore, and that takes time. Just because I tell you to make a plan doesn't mean that you automatically going to follow it. It means we're going to make a plan, and we're going to have to keep making plans until you learn how to make them so good that you do follow them. So, commit to obstacles. That means that your problems and your obstacles, you do not sit around and bitch about them. You do not act like they're like, oh, they're so hard for me, Corinne. Thought, shitty one. You know what you need to be thinking? When they come, I'll deal with them. Thank God I'm in no BS where I got fucking experts to ask. There's an optional thought. A lot of you just like state that your problems are hard for you, overwhelming and stuff, as if you have no choice in the matter to ever have another thought about them. That is not the truth. As I always say, if something feels true, that doesn't make it true. It just means you ain't thinking anything else. So yeah, it's going to feel true if there ain't no other voice in the room. So we're going to talk like a boss about our problems, and we're going to talk like a boss about our obstacles, which means I can handle it. I'll figure it out. This is part of the process. Thank God I have people to ask. I bet somebody else had this problem before. I know every success story ran into problems. I'm going to guess that if I'm running into problems and I keep going, that equals success story. Y'all make it. If I run into problems, that equals failure. It's a no. Every success story's formula is I run into problems, I keep going until I find a solve, until I have figured out how to be the success story. That is it. You either a quitter or you're a success story. The second part, what we're going to commit to with our obstacles and problems is we're going to learn versus being stern. I said this 100,000 times at camp. We are not going to judge ourselves. Every overeat, binge, not stopping when you've had enough, grab ass, broken plan, day you didn't plan, day you slept in versus get up, the day you didn't drink all your water, that night you stayed up and ate instead of going to bed. Every single one of those has to be your opportunity to learn, dive in, process. What was I feeling? What went on? What could I do different next time? The only option you really have on the table if you want to be a success story after something's happened is dig in. Learn from it. Stop the shame train. Being stern, telling yourself you should do better, I have to do better, I'm a failure, all of that stuff that feels so punitive, that's not diet culture. That's you. You're in here now. You ain't outside in the cold with the diet culture where they're not going to tell you that you're not the problem. You know what? You're in here. You got a brain. I just, like, shock and awe, you all got a brain, a reasoning one. If you want to talk better to yourself, it's called a choice. And that means that for a lot of you who started off just like me, where your inner voice is anything but kind, and it has been conditioned for years and years and years to think some utter fucking bullshit, it means you got to commit to that problem. You got to commit to that obstacle. You've got to decide the best work I'll ever do on myself is to quit whining that my inner voice is a bitch and to start changing the conversation. Inner voices don't change by accident. They change on purpose. So, warning, stop committing to perfect, which is what most of you do. You get excited about your goal and you're all in until the first mishap. You were committed to the process being perfect and fun. You're committed to it only being easy. If it's not easy, if it doesn't come natural, if I don't do it right, well, you know, I can't be committed then. That means you're overly committing to perfect. The only reason why you guys want it to go perfect is going to be because of a shitty conversation you have with yourself about the problems. This is why I'm like, when obstacles and problems happen, they're not a problem and they're not terrible and they're not horrible and they're not a game changer unless you got a rat ass conversation happening in your head about them. If you are encouraging, curious, digging in, determined to figure it out, telling yourself, like, man, I'm not letting something like this stop me. There's no way that I'm ever going to allow myself to believe I can't do this. There's got to be a way. When you talk to yourself like that, you're no longer committed to perfect. You're now committed to you. That's how we turn on commitment, by thinking different. So what do I mean by stern? And I think I misspelled it. That's why there's a squiggly underneath it. But I'm going to tell you, I started writing this out 3 minutes before we went live. I was just like, woo, with a marker. Stern is when you're like hard on yourself. It's like taking too much of a little hard hand to yourself. And I just wanted something to go with learn. So learn versus stern. I'm either learning and talking about it and processing it, or I'm being stern where I'm yelling at myself, admonishing myself, saying I should be doing better, taking up a hard hand. So I decided what I was going to do today is give you guys the top three obstacles that I want you committed to and some shit you can try, because I'm all about giving you some do line breakdowns. The top three obstacles that I have been watching you guys have. Following your plans is number one. A lot of people are having difficulty following their plans. A lot of you will start doing plans, but you're not quite skilled at the following part yet, which, as I said at camp 100,000 times, that's okay. In the beginning, it's more important to learn the skill of making plans and everything that you have to go through in order to get good at showing up to be decisive each day about what you're going to eat. That's a skill. There's also the skill of saying, like, well, I'm going to write a plan every day, get really good at that, and practice that commitment while I work on following it. But I'm not going to give up on this one part. Like the minimum baseline, when I talk to you guys about minimum baselines, for a lot of you, the minimum baseline has to be to make the plan every day. No matter what happens, I make my plan every day, and that's my minimum baseline. And then you work your way up from there. The second biggest obstacle that I see is stopping at eating enough. And the third biggest obstacle that I really see is grab-assing food. So I'm going to talk about each one. Number one, following the plan. Hang on, let me move the screen out of the way. It's just bothering me. I can't see. All right. So number one, when you are noticing you're not following your plan, the first question I want you to ask is it actually doable? The vast majority of you still are making plans where you are thinking, I should put this on here. If I don't put this on here, or if I don't eat these things, there's no way I could lose weight and blah, blah, blah. What ends up happening is when you think, I should be eating this, or there's no way I could eat these things and lose weight, you end up feeling restricted, or you end up feeling like defeated along those lines. And the do line of your think, feel, do cycle turns into breaking plans, which results in I'm not eating things that I say I'm going to eat, or the result ends up being, you know, like I can't lose weight because I'm not following my plans. It has nothing to do with what goes on the plan. It's because if you don't start in the beginning or wherever you are, guys, doable plans work at all stages. Even if you're on the last 10 pounds, you'll never lose the last 10 pounds planning through restriction. You'll never lose the last 10 pounds planning through, there's no way I could eat those things. You're not going to lose your last 10 pounds and be able to keep it off thinking, this is the hard part. I got to really knuckle down. Those are not the thoughts that are going to lead to it. So always be looking at, is this plan doable first? If it's truly doable, like, and I mean doable, like go down to the bottom, not good enough. I was telling everybody at camp this weekend that I want it so doable. I want the actions that you take to lose weight so doable that it makes your brain think this isn't good enough. The moment your brain screams this isn't good enough, it's a go. That's probably where all of us need to be, because we need to get better at overriding the part of us that thinks that in order to be successful, and I don't care if you're in business, I don't care if this is weight or whatever it is, the moment that you think it's not good enough, we have to get better at taking action in that moment, improving to ourselves that we can do things the easy way. We get to make our lives easier on ourselves. So many of us don't really believe that. And this is one of those ways. So when you're talking about, is it doable? The moment your brain goes, that's not good enough. Guys, if your brain's going there, you have to learn how to override that part. That doesn't mean make a harder plan. It means prove to yourself that taking action is better than sitting around telling yourself that what you say you'll do isn't good enough. That's a terrible way to live. If you're doing it with your food plan, I guarantee you do it in your mothering. I guarantee you do it in your wifing, in your girlfriending, in your employeeing. You're going to do it in all kinds of places. So when that thought's triggered, you got a doable plan. Now, if you're already good at following your plans, you don't need to take it down a notch to not good enough. You've already proven to yourself you know how to plan for you. But for everybody who's continuing to break their plans, first starts with doable. The next thing is, a lot of you will say, no, Corinne, I'm serious. Oh, I got the doable plan. It is beyond doable. But in that moment, there's something in me that wants to rebel. There's something in me that says, I don't want to do this. I mean, like some of you could put a fucking Whopper with cheese, fries dipped in mayo, and a fully loaded Coke on your plan. And you'd show up at Burger King ready to go, and your brain would be like, oh no, you wrote that on your plan. We're getting a chicken sandwich. Like your brain is just like determined that you're not going to follow this. And it's usually stemming from a core belief that you can't lose weight. So it's trying to find, even in those moments, a way to just sabotage. So you use this one. If it's truly, let's say we're all showing, all of us have planned a Whopper with cheese, fries and mayo, and fully loaded Cokes for lunch. We all going to walk in there like the Kool-Aid man. We're going to want the fried chicken sandwich and onion rings, and we're going to be like, can I just eat the Whopper today? Can just for today, can I just eat the Whopper? Because we have to get good at showing ourselves that we can override our brain with its crazy little whims. That's the key. It's all about in these moments, you have to sit there and learn the skill of my brain is going to lob up a spitball and I gotta be able to duck from it. And for if you're like me, that means in the beginning, you've got to start small. You have to start with things that allow you to make the connection that just because my brain wants to break my plan, or just because my brain thinks this isn't good enough, or my brain wants to rebel, or whatever it is, it doesn't mean I have to do it. And that's where when a lot of you are planning too hard and stuff, that's where you miss that very first commitment practice of, I got to teach myself that what I say I'm going to do, I can learn to do that. And so it starts with things like, can I just? So you're going to use that on your doable plans. You're going to look at, can I just eat this meal? And if I want to switch out the rest of them for the day, I will. But we're here now. Can I just eat this one? And for the rest of the day or tomorrow or whatever, can I just is such a good way to get you going in the direction you want to go. Like for some of you, when it comes to waiting for hunger, sometimes you'll think it's such an emergency because you hadn't ate in 2 hours. And you'll suddenly want to eat something, or you'll smell some food that, like, you know you're not hungry, but it's like hot breadsticks or, you know, getting baked in your house and you just want one. And asking yourself, can I just wait 10 minutes? Can I just drink some water? And if in 10 minutes I still really want one, can I just eat one on a plate? There's always these ways that you can, like, the biggest thing I want you guys to do is break patterns of just being like, it's hard, this is too hard, this is too much. And then you throw out all progress that you could make. You know, sometimes with an overeat, if you're going to choose to eat something, I've watched a lot of you. It's like, maybe I just, like, I don't have it in me to say no, but I do have it in me to say yes to putting it on a plate tonight instead of just eating out of the bag. I got that much in me. The last part is options, giving yourself food options. If you're not following your plan, this is one that I do to this day. When I notice when I'm wanting to, like, break plans and do stuff like that, I always default back to options. It allows me to put, like, 2 to 3 things down for a meal, or, like, sometimes even for the day. If I notice that my brain's real whiny about committing to certain things, I will just put down a list of things that are options for the day. And I just go through there and pick from, like, a buffet all day long and eat what sounds good in the moment from this list. Because what it does is it still teaches me we still can commit to being mindful about what we put in our mouth, even on the days when we're not as mindful as we are on our best day. Today, I got this one in me. The next one is stopping at enough. The best one is always to leave 2 to 3 bites behind. Getting used to not finishing your plate allows your brain to make the connection that you don't have to finish your food. It gets you more comfortable with, you know, noticing when you have had enough. And for some of you who think that 2 to 3 bites is not a big fucking deal, get a freezer bag. Every meal that you leave 2 to 3 bites behind for a week, put the bites in the freezer bag. And at the end of the week, look at how much food you end up saving. And then imagine that times 52. We all probably got at least 20 pounds worth of 2 to 3 bites at most meals a day just in a year. The other thing is, if you're having a hard time stopping at enough, is serving yourself less. For a lot of you, I was reading a big long thread yesterday about one of the girls. I think her name was Jessica. I'm not 100% sure. Her husband was having a shit fit because he believes in the Clean Plate Club, and he was giving her a hard time for, you know, leaving 2 to 3 bites behind and blah, 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 blah. And so we were just kind of helping her with it. And I told her, I was like, serve less. Everybody in there was like, well, then just don't put as much on your plate. Then he ain't got nothing to bitch about. So serve yourself less. If you're used to eating too much, use a smaller plate. Serve yourself less. You don't have to serve yourself dramatically less. Just like as you're scooping your food, making one conscious decision to be like, if I normally give myself 3 spoonfuls of mac and cheese, today I'm going to do 2. Or I'll do 2.5. Every little bit counts. That's the big thing about weight loss. It is not about sweeping changes. It is about a combination of little things. Consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. I can't tell you guys enough about how important it is to just be more aware of what you're doing and make some quick, easy little decisions so that weight loss is not hard. The other thing is wait 10 minutes for seconds. If your big thing is it's really hard for me to not go back for seconds, at least put in a stopgap for a while, or just saying like, I can have seconds, but I am going to wait 10 minutes and drink a little water so that I can make sure that when I go back for seconds, I'm not going back with the urgency to eat more, the desire because it tastes so good. Let all that run itself out so that when you go back, you're going not only with a little bit of desire to keep eating, but you're going back with a fuller stomach. And it will make you eat a little slower. Until you get to the point where you're good at letting that urge pass, until you get good at building up some wins, until you get good at really being able to start believing you can do this, because this is what happens. When you start getting these wins under your belt, you start shifting your mindset from somebody who believes they can't lose weight to somebody who's starting to believe it's possible. And when that happens, when we flip the switch with lots of little things to really starting to think about this might be possible, that desire and urgency to keep eating as if something's going to be taken away, that part of you is dying off. That part of you is leaving the building because you're starting to see things aren't being taken away. And so your habit brain's calming down. So you don't battle with that version of you so much. That's why the small things add up over time. The 10-10-10 rule is something I taught this weekend at camp, which is really simple. When you are like thinking that you want more food, ask yourself, will this matter to me? Like, will I still be proud of this decision in 10 minutes, 10 months, and in 10 years? Sometimes that's enough to get you to think about the long-term version of you, your long-term goals, plus you in 10 minutes. You know, for a lot of us, we know if we just keep going that it'll be that quick before we turn on the shame shawl. So just that is just a quick and easy little, like, a lot of times when you're making decisions, whether or not you're going to do or do not do something, use the 10-10-10 rule. Will this matter to me in 10 minutes, 10 months, 10 years? Will I like this decision 10 minutes, 10 months, 10 years? Will I regret this in 10 months, 10 years, 10 minutes? Asking, you can use that around a lot of different things. And the last thing is for all of you who do the wasting food thing, write about wasting food. And this is what I want you to do. You do not need to come up with all the reasons why you are somebody who doesn't want to waste food. You know them. Let's just not even dig that diaper up. I am someone who to this day still does not like wasting food. It comes up for me. But what I've done is over time, I have wrote about when I eat food from the mindset of I don't want to be wasteful, here's the things that I'm actually wasting. So I always talk about how much money I waste by cleaning my plate. You know, when you are cleaning your plate routinely and you don't need that much food, that money adds up over time. You don't learn how to buy less. You don't learn how to cook less. You don't learn all of that. And so if you keep cleaning your plate, you just keep spending money on food that you don't need to even be buying or preparing. And a lot of us don't think about that. I also tell myself, and here's the wasted time that I spend. It's not only the time spent eating and not doing something else. It's the time I spend regretting. It's the time I have to spend on trying to figure out how to do better. Like, all of that is wasteful. So I write about, like, when I am eating with the idea that if I don't clean my plate, something's gone wrong, here's where I'm actually wasting my time, wasting my emotions, and wasting my money. That is that concept of the equal airtime. The last one is grab-assing. So the best tips I have for committing to these obstacles and problems is get you a plate where you can, like, grab-assing is where it's where you're popping food in your mouth very unconsciously. It's like, you know, I didn't even realize it, but I'd ate a breadstick. I didn't even realize it, but I'd, you know, I was eating while I was cooking dinner. My husband was having popcorn and I just decided to eat some. My wife was having ice cream and I sat down with her and just started eating it. So that is grab-assing. Grab-assing is just a lot of just bites and licks of things and tastes and stuff like that. So I like, for all of you who went to camp, you got a grab-ass plate that has like the no BS stuff on it, but any plate will do. If you are bad to grab ass during dinner while you're cooking or cleaning up the kitchen or serving or whatever, you put a plate right in your eyesight. Don't put it off in a corner somewhere. Put it right where you can't miss it and just say, I get to have all I want, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the food that I want to normally pop into my mouth, I'm going to put it on this plate so that I get really aware of how much food I am grab assing. Because a lot of you, this is where you hit weight loss stalls. You don't want to clean this part up. And you are eating way more than you think you are. You're not really doing all the things. So licks and stuff. If you miss one, you put it on the plate so that you can see. You have to get your brain connected to anything that goes into my mouth, that plate gets a tap. You'll get to see all of it. It'll just raise your awareness. The other thing, put sticky notes on that shit you're grab-assing. Hell, put a sticky note every day. Rewrite one right before you cook dinner. Put it on the sink. Put it, like, where do you grab? If you are bad to be cleaning up the dishes and eating what's left on your kid's plate or on, you know, whatever's left over in the bottom of the pan, put a sticky note right there. No grab-assing tonight. You can put all those grab-asses too in that bag of plenty that you're going to be doing in your freezer, put them in there so you can see exactly how much you save by not doing that. And it all goes back to just making it conscious. Grab-assing is a very unconscious behavior, so we have to make it conscious. That's why we're doing all these little tips. This also, when you do this, when you start wiping out grab-assing, you start practicing how to deal with urges at a low level. Urges to pop stuff in your mouth aren't urgent like they are with wanting to just sit down with your ice cream at night or your Oreos or to eat chips and decompress. This isn't relaxation eating. Grab-assing is almost always in the habitual zone. So this allows you to have that low-level urge to do a habit and override it and teach yourself how to get through an urge. So that when you have bigger urges that are more about, not only are they habitual, but they're very emotional to boot, this gives you practice to show you that you know how. The last thing about grab-asses that I want to say is, a lot of you, if you catch yourself eating mindlessly, you immediately go to fuck it, we've blown it, blah, 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 blah. Grab-assing is not a big deal until you turn it into a fuck it eat. I want you all to remember that. Grab assing is not a big deal until you turn it into a fuck it eat. So don't do that. Just tell yourself, it's just a grab ass. I'm unlearning this behavior. It'll take a while to get it conscious. And when I do, it'll be one less habit that I have to deal with. That goes back to what I was talking about. When you're committed to your obstacles, you talk about them like a boss. You learn from them. You don't get stern. You don't punish yourself. You don't dread your obstacles. You don't think your obstacles are hard. You don't create a soap opera around your obstacles. All right, guys, that's how I want you guys to be thinking. We're not only going to commit to our obstacles this year. We're going to commit to our problems and our mistakes this year. We're committing to solving them. We're going to commit to the whole process of losing weight. And we're going to commit to our goals. We are going to be commitment bitches this year. All right, let's see what questions that you guys have. Y'all crack me up. I love the writing out signs. It's good. That is the, let me just tell you, cheapest graphics that were ever made. All right. Zoe says, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around eating things like ice cream or chocolate when you're hungry. When I'm physically hungry, I'm not hungering for those foods. When I'm not hungry is when I want to eat those types of foods. So how do I actually eat those foods when I'm hungry? Some of the women eat ice cream for dinner, and I know that's not what I want to do. I want to feel energized and amazing. And so I choose to have balanced, better foods. I guess I just don't conceptually understand how to have these fun foods when you're hungry or how to build them into your plan. Well, right now, Zoe, you need to build them into your plan, and you don't need to be hungry for them. You need to build them into your plan and just like, so look, if you're going to want ice cream, like say you're going to want to eat ice cream this week, plan when you're going to have ice cream, and being hungry is not a requirement. But here's the other thing. When you plan for it, plan to just eat it only as long as you're enjoying it. So a really good worksheet to do when you first start doing that is to get our tedious and powerful worksheet. Oh, no, we renamed it. It's called the Fuck It Foods Worksheet. Go get that worksheet and eat some of these foods that you're going to want. It'll walk you through doing it slowly and mindfully and stuff so that when you have your ice cream and stuff, you'll only eat it as long as you're truly enjoying it. And when you're done, you'll just be done. And you can have it with freedom. On the, like a lot of times when I'm going to have, if I'm going to be having ice cream or nachos or whatever, what I normally do is I don't not eat through the day and stuff, but let's say that I'm going out for dinner and I'm going to have dinner and I know I'm going to want to have dessert. Then for dinner, I typically will eat a little bit less so that when I come to dessert, I really do enjoy it. It's hard for me now to enjoy desserts when I'm not hungry or when I'm like, or if I'm already at enough. So there's one way that you can do it, but make sure that you use the Fuck It Foods worksheet. There are a couple of videos also that go along with it where I have walked people through the Fuck It Foods worksheet. So if you want to listen to those or watch those videos too, you can do that. But I would just decide when you want to have these foods, plan for them, and eat them when you enjoy, and eat them until you enjoy them, and then just be done. My boss told me multiple people I work with don't think I have value. So as long as you value you, what the fuck you care about what they think? There's yesterday, I'm not going to shit you guys. This lady on Instagram was talking about how fat she was. And like, she just had this long post about being a loser, being fat. She's starting her diet. This was her, like her literal selfie was like, and I don't know this woman, but one of y'all tagged me in her, somebody tagged me on her thing. I couldn't help myself. The lady was like, you should listen to Corinne Crabtree. She's blah, blah, blah. And the lady's like, okay. Or so, no. I can't remember. She had not responded yet. So I went in and I talked to her about, like, I just said, hey, you don't know me, but I'm going to tell you something. You do not need to think that you are fat. You do not need to think about all this stuff. You get to choose that you're worthy right now and that anything that you're doing for you is because you want to. And like, anyway, I just gave her this lesson, right? Like, she got me. I mean, can y'all imagine some random person in the world, I happen to visit her Instagram post and tell her, this is what she replies. Okay. And then she replies back to that other lady, that's not for me. I just need to get serious. It's me. So Katrina, this is somebody who doesn't think I have value. But you know what? I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, she's missing out. What's wrong with her? She should fucking listen. She should pay attention. I'm not hurt at all. If I'm hurt at all, I'm hurt for her. Because she's going to stay in bullshit. So you put down, it hurts because there's some truth to it, but I frequently ask, how can I help? And no one has ever said anything on my anonymous surveys. I just want to feel better. If you want to feel better, Katrina, you got to think better about you. If you want to add more value, don't wait for somebody to tell you how valuable you are. Say, like, I'm going to start offering value. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show these people. I'm going to make somebody a value monster. I don't need nobody to tell me how to help them. I'm going to figure it out. But you'd be like me waiting around for you guys to tell me how the fuck to help you. Now, nobody yesterday posted in Facebook, Corinne, it would be really great if you did a thing on committing to your obstacles and problems. You know what I did? I took a fucking look around, noticed what people were struggling with, and created some value. Do the same thing because you can. Because you know you can offer value. And because your value isn't dependent on some boo-boo the fool being articulate enough for you to tell you how to help them or willing to carry your emotions basket. You carry it all day, every day. How do you block out the noise of diet culture, especially the beginning of the year? Quit following shit. That's the first way. Go through your social media feeds, all of you. Somebody's talking about, if your friends right now are all keto or whatever flavor of the month is, Weight Watchers, points, all the things, don't follow them for 30 days. Let them flame out. They'll be back to bitching about weather, corona, and politics in another 30 days. People don't change their stripes that much. So I just unfollow a bunch of people. That'd be the first thing. I know a lot of people have had success with keto and other diets. No, they haven't. This is a thought. Lots of people have had success with keto. Here's another thought. Lots of people have had it harm them. Lots of people start out strong and flame out. All you need to do, like, this is the thing. Y'all quit believing that all these other diets, it's never going to, if you're in here, it's never going to be helpful to think other diets people are having success. If you want to, like, look for success, why not focus in here? I love how you guys are so fucking obsessed with finding. Like, here I am. I am in the no BS. You're here. And you're looking around you to find people doing other things for success. Stop that. Not helpful. If you want to find success, post in the Facebook group. Just do this. Look up success stories. I just interviewed fucking 10 of them on stage this Saturday. We have got some more success in here that lasts. People are actually fucking happy when they're done. They're not just losing weight going like, oh, I just hope and pray I can keep it off. They're like, oh my God, my life changed. Oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, like, look for success in the places that it makes sense. So, like, I've been having to set a lot of boundaries already, and it's only week one. You ain't got to set no boundaries. Unfollow people, and when somebody says, oh, my God, I'm just going to tell you, Melissa, I'm doing the world's best diet, and you should be too. Just be like, good, tell me all about it. And all you got to do in your mind is be like, I got my own shit. I got the best shit. And you know what? I will see her ass in 6 months when she is asking me, what the fuck you doing, Melissa? Like, this is the thing, y'all. Yes, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of people on a lot of randomized diets because they're all desperate. Yes, they're going to experience a lot of success around you. But I guarantee you, if they didn't keep it off last year, I highly doubt they'll do it this year. You know why? Because they're not losing it the way we do. They keep just trying to eat certain foods to solve a big ass problem. And I don't mean the size of their ass. They really think that losing weight is what's going to make them happy. They don't want to stop blaming. They don't want to stop worrying. They don't want to start taking responsibility for their emotions. They don't want to become someone that thinks about the future more than their past. They want to keep all of that, and just tell you that all's true. They don't want to switch their thinking around. They are like, no, when I lose weight, I'm just going to be so thin that when I'm worrying the shit out of myself and overwhelmed and anxious, it won't matter. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lose weight. And then when everybody's hurting my feelings and I'm blaming and feeling really bad and blah, 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 I'm not going to care because now I'm thin. They're not going to unlearn all that. Guess what they're going to do? When they lose weight and their feelings are still getting hurt on the religion because they're putting their value in somebody else, and when they're still obsessively worrying about shit that ain't even in their control rather than thinking about what's in their control and stuff, they're going to be shocked that when they have lost some weight, that all that didn't just get fixed. Being thin is not a solution to the world's problems. It may feel like it, but I guarantee you, all of you, it is not. After 2 years of Can I Just with my fitness program, I don't like the process any more than I did on day one. I just like the results. I'm wondering if it's time to give up this goal. Not if you like the results. The only thing is you're just doing Can I Just to get you going. You're not doing the work on falling in love with it. Figure out why you like it. Figure out, like, not only do I like the results, but I like the version of me that just shows up. Or maybe you pick something you don't like and you've been doing it for 2 years. Good for you. Now find another one that you will like. Look at your reasons why you keep doing it. Are you just doing it to lose weight? If so, then just decide, do I need to do this to lose weight? There's a million ways that you can slice that one. Can we have a couple of specific examples of what not good enough and working with that looks like? Yeah, the moment, like, let's say, like my Whopper example. A lot of you, y'all go to the drive-thru on the regular. You are not fooling nobody. I know. And y'all ain't putting it on the damn thing. Or y'all will put your drive-thru on there, but, you know, somehow you're going to get some crap-ass McDonald's salad that tastes like horse dew and fat-free dressing and wonder why that's not an alternative after a stressful day. If you're eating McDonald's, then you should probably be putting McDonald's on the plan. That's an example of your brain's going to be like, oh, Corinne, that's not good enough. Yeah, well, let me tell you what's truly not good enough. Never learning how to say what you, never doing what you say you're going to do. That, my friend, is not good enough. You know what else is not good enough? Learning how to eat your McDonald's because it's planned and your goal version of you is sitting there going, do you really want this? Like, I thought we were trying to lose weight. And you're like, well, it's on the plan. I was like, well, can you just eat a little bit less of it then? Like, that part of your brain will speak up. That's why we got to do the not good enough. A lot of you don't want to put the shit on there that you're just eating behind your own back all the time. It's like, I just want to keep the pattern of fuck it eating because I keep planning what I think I should be eating. Guys, none of you should be eating anything. I promise every single one of you. There are no good and bad foods. There are some foods that as you experiment and stuff, yeah, like Zoe was talking about, there's some things that are going to feel a little bit better in your body and stuff at times. But I'm going to tell you, I've never had a bad day because I ate some ice cream. Now, if I ate a carton because I was binging out, because I felt really bad about myself, sure. But I've never noticed that I can't work out hard the next day. I've never noticed that I can't go to work and show up like a fucking boss and make amazing decisions and teach people. Have an ice cream. It's not a villain. For those of you that actually have dietary restrictions due to health problems, I am not talking to you. But for the 97% of us, that are sitting around talking about food, like it's either good or bad, that they're like, that some foods have more moral value than others, stop. All it's leading you to do is to complicate and then overeat, thinking that something's going to be taken away from you. I just want us to normalize food. That's it. I just want you to be able to like enjoy a fucking donut when you want to and not feel like it's the last goddamn donut that'll ever be offered to you, so you better eat three. Well, it's free. Like, I want you to be relieved of all that stuff so that if you actually want to have a donut, you're not eating it because it's free or it's free donut Friday or it's what you bought, everybody else is. I want you to get to the point to where that kind of stuff goes away. The only way for all of that to go away is for you to normalize food. Last question. I have not good enough plans almost every day. I think if I don't plan like my future self, I will never get to her. Do you have an example of a latter thought I could start with? Let's see. Let me put my glasses. If I don't plan like my future self, I'll never get to her. How about just thinking, today I'm planning like my future self. I know I'll get there. That would be the latter thought for that one. Or you could just tell yourself, this is the plan that my future self told me to make today. You could always say that too. And I would just, all of you, I would just start telling myself with those not, when you trigger something to be not good enough, just like when my brain thinks it's not good enough, that's exactly when I know I'm on the right track. Because most of you, when your brain is thinking not good enough, you go off track big time. Y'all think about it, and I will guarantee you I just proved you true. Okay, guys, that's it for today. I will see everybody on Saturday for the Future You workshop. Again, if you came to camp and you want to reboot and one more time at some amazing talks about why and who do you want to be and setting a goal, plus getting a glimpse into kind of how I live my life these days, please come. I will see you guys at 10 a.m. If not, I will see you guys on Sunday at 12 p.m. Central Time for open coaching, where we'll talk all the things. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.